Good morning and greetings. Oh, here comes the choir now. I was waiting for the choir. While they're getting seated, let us prepare for worship. If you have any electrical devices that are turned on, please turn them off. And Kathy has prepared a delightful prelude for us. Thank you, Kathy. That was wonderful. There are announcements in your bulletin. Please take time to read them. There are pink slips in your pew aisles. Please sign the slip and pass it towards the center. It's also an opportunity, if you don't know the people that are sitting next to you, to look at the name and introduce yourself during a time when we stand and greet each other. Mike Ward has an announcement about the Boy Scouts.
Good morning. This past weekend, the boys in Troop 13 were up on the mountain. It was Klondike Derby. And the young men and boys from Troop 13 got first place in the dog sled run. That means you're there's three or four boys pulling a dog sled through the snow. They traveled about 600 meters in about 2 minutes and 56 seconds. And they beat the second place team by 10 seconds. So they're still up on the mountain. They'll be back later this around noon sometime. But it's been a long time since Troop 13 has made a good showing up there. We've always been in the upper half, but this time we had some boys that were really horses and pulled that sled because you're pulling it through about a foot or foot and a half of snow. So if you see them, you won't see them today most likely, but if you see them next week at Scout Sunday, tell them that they did a good job, please. Thank you.
I have one other announcement. Down the hallway a little ways on a green bulletin board, there's a sign-up list for soup supper. We need that filled in for the Lent season. And early in the week, there was not very many names up there. Now there's quite a few more, but there's still some empty slots there. So if you have the inclination, please sign up. And this doesn't have to be some fancy recipe. You know, it can start with potato soup, chicken and noodles, whatever you've got in your mind. If you have an inclination to help out with the soup suppers, please sign up. I have a personal item I would like to bring up. I like to solve cryptograms. If you don't know what they are, it's a message, but it's encoded with all the letters scrambled, and you have to break the code before you know what it says. Well, this week I solved one of them that kind of touched me, and I'd like to read it to you. Faith is to believe in something not yet proven, and to underwrite it with our lives. It is the only way that we can leave the future open. That is important to me because early in my life I did not have faith, and I wouldn't have it today if I didn't start coming to this church. So, with that being said, we can stand now and greet each other and then sing our opening hymn, number 102. So we join in the call to worship. In healing, Jesus did embrace an energy we cannot trace. His love revealed in every place the mystery of amazing grace. Have I got the wrong one? Oh.
I think that's last week's bulletin.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What happened? Oh, it's over here. Excuse me. I don't know how that got in there. I thought I'd thrown it away. Now this one looks more familiar. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name.
But his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be. Shall we pray? Father, as we approach the season of Lent, we recall the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the desert. Afterwards, he resisted three attempts by Satan to lead him into sin. Father, few of us have the ability or the desire to fast for 40 days. However, with your guidance and the example of Jesus, we pray that we may avoid the temptations of Satan for these 40 days and beyond. We pray as Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is number 115. There's something about that name. Thank you. I'd like to invite the children to come forward this morning for a time of sharing. Mommy's not feeling good today. I wondered when I saw it was just Daddy and you two. Please tell Mommy when you get home that we hope she feels better. Okay? The last hymn that we're singing in worship today is a song called Give Me Jesus. It sounds kind of like a strange thing to do, to give somebody Jesus. It's not like you can put Jesus in a box and wrap him up with a bow and hand him to somebody as a present. And yet we can give Jesus to people when we give people Jesus' love. When we tell them the stories of Jesus and how much God loves them, in a way, we're giving people Jesus. Another way that we can give people Jesus is to write a prayer card. Have you all ever given a prayer card to someone? In the pew racks, when you come into worship, there are these little cards that have a picture of the church on one side. On the other side, you can draw a picture for someone, you can write a note, and then if you put their name on it and you put in the offering tray, we will make sure that that person receives the card from you. And it's nice if you put your name on it so they know who sent it to them, and it's a way to let people know we're praying for them. It's a way that you can kind of give Jesus to somebody who needs it. I see you have sparkles on your dress. That's very special. So maybe you want to write a prayer card for Mommy and let her know that we're praying for her, that she'll feel better, and you could take it home and give it to her. Will you all pray with me? O loving and gracious God, we thank you for giving us Jesus. Lord, we pray that we will find ways to give you to other people, to share your love. In your precious name, O God, we pray, and all your children say, Amen. You all can go to Worship and Wonder in Sunday School. As the children head out this morning, I encourage the rest of you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you and write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card tower this morning is for all of the families who have had recent deaths. We continue to pray for the family of Betty Burkhart. Her service was held yesterday here in the sanctuary. We pray for Mary Ann Kane on the passing of her mother, whose service was Thursday morning. Prayers for my husband Charles. His uncle Joe passed away of pancreatic cancer, and that funeral was yesterday afternoon in Indiana. Stan is with us in worship this morning with his son David, and all of the McIrvin family have been in our prayers this week ever since that we learned of Darlene's passing. Darlene struggled with cancer, and it was a challenge for her at the end. It seemed that it came quickly, that the cancer moved into her lungs. It was a blessing that last weekend her family was able to be with her. David and Cindy and Stan spent almost the entire weekend at Wyoming Medical Center at Darlene's bedside. We had the opportunity to pray together and to seek peace for that beloved woman. Darlene's service will be this coming Saturday, February 17th, at 11 o'clock in the morning here in our sanctuary. There'll be a reception afterwards. If any in the church would like to help provide cookies or serve at that reception, please let Darlene and Wanda know. They have been faithful servants to those families that are grieving. We continue to pray for others who are in treatment for cancer. There are several listed in our bulletin, and we think of each one. In addition to our prayer list this morning, Tammy Heck asks us to pray for a friend and fellow teacher, Lori Fedge. Lori and her husband, Robert, were in a serious car accident Friday night. They were driving in their pickup, hit black ice, and the vehicle rolled over three times. They are both hospitalized in Cheyenne. Lori has multiple broken bones. Robert is in ICU with a broken neck, so their injuries are very serious. So please pray for Lori and Robert. The missionary that we're lifting up today is Ben Livers, who serves in India. And we continue to pray for Lonnie McBee's daughter, Kim, and the nursing students that she is leading on a medical mission trip in Malawi. Our regional prayer partners this morning are the members of Monte Vista, Colorado, First Christian Church, and their pastor, Wayne Whitner. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you can sign and send greetings. Are there others this morning, joys or concerns that we want to share with the congregation? Debbie. We give thanks to God for the students from Woods Learning School and their opportunity to share kindness by helping with the sandwich ministry and the blanket ministry. Phil.
After a lot of prayer and filling out a whole lot of forms, we turned in the last of the paperwork, and soon my wife and I will be adopted.
Please continue to pray for Phil and Becky on this exciting journey. It's going to take a while for them to get all the paperwork improved with immigration. They're planning on adopting a little boy from China, and he already lives in their hearts. Dennis. Prayers for Judy's brother, Don Sin, specifically that he won't lose his leg. Prayers of healing for him. Mike.
This coming weekend, the youth from our region will be going to Midwinter Retreat. And I would ask for prayers for safe travels on Friday as they go down and on Monday as they come back. And that they have a meaningful experience.
Among the youth traveling to Midwinter next weekend, both Kylie and Dylan Stupak will be going from Casper, and Katie Jo McLeod is driving down as a sponsor. We pray for safe travels for them and for a blessing for all the youth who participate at the Midwinter Retreat. Pam. Prayers for Madison, who's dealing with esophageal ulcers. Jim.
Yeah, I've got a joy to share and also prayer for somebody. My Army buddy of like 30 years, we met over in Germany, and he had stage 4 cancer, and because of everybody's prayers, he's cancer-free.
Praise the Lord. Jim is sharing with us that his Army buddy from that he knew in Germany, they've known each other for about 30 years. We had been praying for him along with many, many others. He is cancer-free, and we thank God for answering that prayer. His brother David has been having seizures and may have Alzheimer's. Prayers for David. Are there others today? Let us bring all these concerns and joys to the Lord as we share in a time of silence. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need your love and your strength, your forgiveness of our sins, your saving grace. Lord Jesus, we pray this morning for all those we have named who need you. We pray for your comforting peace to be with all those who grieve. We pray for Stan and David and Cindy as they miss Darlene. Lord, we thank you so much for the vibrant faith she shared in her life and for the peace that is now hers. We pray for the Burkharts and the Canes and the Baylor McBride clan. Oh God, send comfort to all who grieve. Lord, we ask for your healing to be with Lori and Robert Fedgey as they recover from serious injuries from a car accident, to be with Don Sin as he lies in a hospital in Denver with his body fighting infection. Oh Lord, we pray for healing, for recovery, for his hip, for his bones, for his body. We ask, oh God, for you to watch over Jim Oliver's brother, David. Ease the seizures that he has been experiencing and help the doctors give an accurate diagnosis. Lord, we rejoice in the news of a friend who had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer who is now cancer-free. We pray for healing for all those who live with cancers. Lord, we pray for Madison as she struggles with ulcers and as she awaits further results for medical tests. Oh God, we pray for healing for Madison in body and spirit. We pray for your peace to ease any struggle or fear in her mind. We pray for your spirit to heal her body. Oh Lord, make her well and strong. We rejoice, O God, in the eagerness of your people to share your love through simple acts of kindness. We give you thanks for the students who came from Woods Learning School to share their Have a Heart Day of service here at First Christian. We thank you for packages of hot cocoa mix and cookies for blankets shared with people in need, that just by knowing it was children who gave that gift, their days are even brighter. Oh Lord, we thank you for the gift of love that you place in the human heart. We thank you for the love shared in a special bond between parents and children in loving families. This day, we rejoice in the sharing of good news with Phil and Becky Ostrander in their journey towards adopting a son from China. Lord, we pray your blessing to be upon this little boy who has found a heart in their homes. We pray for Phil and Becky for patience in the long process of taking this legal step. When the time comes for them to travel, we pray for safe journeys to and from China. And Lord, we pray for the future of a little boy who will be well loved by our church family and by the Ostranders, his lifetime family to be. God, we ask your blessing to be upon the youth who will gather next weekend at Midwinter Retreat at Lafayette Camp. We pray for Kylie and Dylan and Katie Jo as they drive from Casper, that you will watch over them and bless them with safe travels. We pray, O Jesus, for your presence to be known among these young people. We ask your blessing upon Ben Livers, Kim Ash, and missionaries around the world. Be with Pastor Wayne and the members of First Christian in Monta Vista. Oh God, we are so thankful that you have given us Jesus. Help us, Lord, to live in such a way that every day we give Jesus to others. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
At First Christian Church, all are welcome at the communion table, for Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We may also bring our gifts forward, offering trays are at the front of the pews here. So may we come to the table now, singing hymn 384.
Here at the Lord's table, we find our place with Jesus. We feel him draw near. We taste God's love in the bread and the cup, and we open our hearts to receive anew forgiveness and grace from God's Spirit. As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Hidden God, we seek your face and we catch glimpses of it in Jesus Christ. He teaches us as one having authority. He gives sight to the blind. The wind and waves obey him. He forgives sin. He lays down his life of his own accord. And then he has the power to take it back up again. As we gather at this table here this morning to break this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him, open the eyes of our hearts by your indwelling spirit so that we may catch fresh glimpses of you in the presence, power, and promise of Jesus Christ, who is our only way to the Lord and Savior. Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, we offer our gifts to you and your Son, Jesus Christ, in order that your identical mission may be fulfilled on this planet. We pray for your blessing of these gifts and bless the service that they were dedicated to. Amen.
The scripture today is John 3, 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, And the people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God.
Our second text today comes from the Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. We'll begin at verse 27. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to lose their life, for those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for your anthem. I know that Amber is anxious every time you sing with a recording just because it's challenging to not have an accompanist respond. But we still heard a beautiful message today. How can we keep from singing when God's love is given to us so freely? Would you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, we need you. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. John 3:16 is one of the most familiar and beloved passages of Scripture. Even folks who rarely come to church and are only nominal Christians, if they can recite one passage of Scripture, it's often this: "For God so loved the world." Funny, it would be easier to memorize the shortest verse of Scripture, which is also in John, two words, "Jesus wept." But John 3:16 is, in a way, a summation of the whole gospel. So it is not surprising that it is the verse that gets imprinted on the human heart. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Sometimes I stand before you and I have a lot to say. Other times it feels like my words will get in the way of the message. if we heard nothing else today but John 3:16 and truly loved it and took it into our hearts, it would be enough. Now, as we look at John together, we could study the context of this beautiful verse. We could hear again how it is set in the midst of an encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus. A respected leader among the Pharisees, he came to Jesus at night for a conversation behind closed doors, asking questions of faith. And Jesus talked with him about what it means to be born again, to be born in the Spirit, to trust in the Spirit of God, the pneuma that travels where it will, like the wind that blows and comes. We could look at verse by verse the specific context of the third chapter of John. We could explore that strange reference in verse 14 to Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. There's a story in the Old Testament when the Israelites were wandering, both physically and spiritually, that they were plagued by snakes as punishment for turning their backs on God. And the Lord sent healing for them by having Moses lift up a staff with a snake, and the people only needed to look at it to be healed rather than to die. We could take time to explore those verses after John 3:16, where Jesus talks about light and darkness. We could ponder for ourselves, what is light in our lives and what is darkness? Do we choose to live in God's light, or are there moments when we love the darkness more, when we just as soon hide away from God's sight? But this morning, I'd really like us just to focus on the heart of that verse, for God so loved the world. God loves you and me so much that Jesus came to be the way, the truth, and the life, to give to us the gift of eternal life. God loves the world so much that he sent his son. God loves the rich and the poor. God loves everyone in the world. Whether your ancestors come from Angola or Argentina, from Brazil or Belize, from Canada or Cameroon, wherever in this world people are, they are loved by God. And so God sent his son, Jesus, for the whole world. God sent Jesus to bring salvation to those who have comfortable lives and to those who suffer every day. God loves us. When we're hungry and we don't know where our next meal will come from, or when we sit at a banquet feast, God loves us. Whether we're gay or straight, conservative or liberal, holy or questioning, God loves each and every person in the entire world. There is no one alive whom God does not love. And the good news in that is that God loves you, and God loves me. There's nothing we can do that will make God love us less. There are choices that we can make that will break God's heart when we decide to dwell in darkness and sin, when we choose to be selfish rather than generous. But no matter who we are, God loves us. So Jesus was sent for the world, a precious gift from God. I'd like you to hold that verse in your mind while we flip over to Mark 8 and reflect on the passage we heard there. Jesus is in the midst of traveling with his disciples They're on their way. In the Gospel of Mark, they're always on their way somewhere. In this case, they're on their way to the villages of Caesarea and Philippi. It's while they are traveling that Jesus asks the question, "Who do people say that I am?" So together, as the disciples are talking, they come up with a couple answers, what they've heard the crowd say. Some say that you're John the Baptist. He'd been beheaded and now was come back to life in the form of Christ. That's what some thought. Others say Elijah or one of the prophets. It was clear even to the crowds who did not know Jesus well that he was a man of God and there was something special about him. But Jesus asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" It's a question that rings down through the ages. For each of us who claim the name of Christ, when we identify ourselves as a Christian, that question still rings. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus in your life? Not who does the preacher tell you Jesus is, or who do mom and dad tell you Jesus is, or who does the elder or the Sunday school teacher tell you Jesus is. Who do you say that he is? Peter answered, "You are the Messiah," which means the anointed one, the chosen one of God. You are the Christ. In Peter's simple confession of faith, the true nature of Jesus is revealed. He is God's own Son who has come to save the world. I think Jesus must have been pleased with Peter's answer, perhaps even relieved that he got it. Last week, if you were in worship, you heard how Jesus healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Simon and his brother Andrew were there at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, along with James and John, the first apostles called to follow him. By this point, in the 8th chapter of Mark's gospel, they have seen many miracles at Jesus' hand. And they have come to understand who he is, and yet they still don't quite get it. For Jesus goes on to teach them of what is ahead, what it means for him to be the Son of Man and the Son of God, that he will suffer greatly. Indeed, he will die before being raised to life on the third day. At that point, it is too much for Peter to bear. He rebukes Jesus. "Lord, you've got to be crazy. You don't have to be put to death. Just teach us, just heal us, just feed us, just keep doing the miracles you've done. The whole world will follow you." But Jesus knew the Lord's plan. The sin of humanity was too great to be wiped out just by good works. It could only be washed away by sacrifice, a price that Jesus himself was willing to pay. Jesus calls the crowd and talks to them. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves." Jesus is preparing to deny himself of life itself. And so he challenges those who would follow him, including us, that self-denial is part of that journey. Those who want to save their life will lose it. If the only thing we're focused on is ourselves, our very survival, or perhaps even our success, in the end, it will mean nothing. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake, Jesus says, and for the sake of the gospel, will save it. It's almost a source of cognitive dissonance. It's one of those verses of scripture that makes your brain bounce around inside your head. Only if you're willing to lose your life will you save it. Only if you're willing to give up all that you have will then you then receive even more than you can fathom. Jesus goes on to say, indeed, what can they give in return for their life? What would you give for your life? $1 million? What would you give for your life, a precious gift that you had no part in starting? What can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them I will be ashamed. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Verse 36, for what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? If at the very heart of your life is who you are, the essence of what it means to be uniquely you, that's something that can actually be lost. You can forget who you are if you spend all of your days trying to prove to other people you're better than them. If you spend all of your energy trying to get more stuff. If you spend all of your ego worried about what is outside of you, you can lose track of what is inside. The very heart of who you are. You can spend your whole life trying to gain all the good stuff in the world and at the end have absolutely nothing. What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? This morning, I'd like us to hold in tension these two verses. Mark 8:36, what will it profit them to gain the whole world and to forfeit their life? Hold that at the same time you think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Jesus for the world. We can think of that simple statement in two ways. Jesus is for the world. Jesus is God's gift to the world. Jesus brings salvation for all in the world. Jesus for the world. Another way to think of that same simple refrain, Jesus for the world, is to think of it as an exchange. You get to choose. You can choose the world, this life, wealth, success, happiness, education, privilege, prestige. You can choose the world, or you can choose Jesus. When it comes right down to it, at the very end of your life, it will be evident what you have chosen. At the very end of your life, all else gets stripped away, and you have the chance to look at yourself and know this was the purpose of your living. In the past week, I've had the opportunity and privilege as your pastor to journey with three families who walked with a loved one at that end of life. On Monday, I had a conversation with the Kane family to schedule a time to meet and plan Marge's service, which was held Thursday morning. Also on Monday, I went to Wyoming Medical Center and stood in a hospital room on the fifth floor with Stan and David and Cindy and visited with Darlene. Darlene's journey was not one that any of us would have chosen. Her diagnosis of cancer initially last fall was a little unclear. We weren't sure what to expect. She was hearing about possible treatments. She was having a hard time breathing. Things seemed to move quickly at the end. Last weekend, she went to the hospital. At first, the doctors thought she had pneumonia. She was having a hard time breathing. We thought maybe it was a lung infection. She was on oxygen. They were treating her. Paul Halleck visited over the weekend. It seemed like she was doing a little bit better. On Monday, I went in the morning, and it was clear that Darlene wasn't doing better. She was struggling to breathe. But her soul was so healthy. She was in such a good place. She said with peace and humor and grace to her family and to her pastor, "I'm ready to go to heaven." I almost felt like she was going to finish the sentence, "How about you?" "I'm ready," she said. Monday afternoon, Stan called and asked me to come again. And I went immediately to the hospital. In those few hours, things had changed for Darlene. What the family didn't know at the beginning of the weekend, they knew for sure on Monday. She wasn't going to get better and go home and be fine. It just wasn't going to happen. So there was a conversation about hospice care, about quality of life, about helping Darlene to have dignity and peace in however much time she had left. We talked together, is it better for her to go to home and have hospice care, to go to the hospice facility and have care? In the end, she stayed at the hospital on comfort care. All day Tuesday, Darlene's family prayed with and for her. A simple prayer that Jesus would take her hand and hold her close, that she would be blessed with peace, that she could let go. When you get to the point where physically you struggle for every breath you take, there is nothing more important in that moment for your body to be alive than to get oxygen into your lungs. Imagine if you've just been thrown into the deep end of a swimming pool. You didn't know you were diving in. What you need most is air. You hold your breath as tight as you can while you kick for the surface, and when you break through the water and breathe, that's how it feels to get Jesus. When it's the one thing you want more than anything else because you know it is life itself. Imagine that you are hungry. It has been days since you have eaten. It has been weeks since you have had truly nutritious food. In order to survive, you need to eat. And someone comes, whether it be stranger or friend, and offers you bread. In that moment, there is nothing more important to your existence than biting into that bread and tasting life itself. That's what Jesus is like. The one thing you need more than anything else. After praying with the McIrvins at Wyoming Medical Center, I drove over to the Burkhart home. Betty was on hospice care. I'd had a call last week that the family asked for pastoral care sometime. One of those calls, when you get around to it, preacher, when you have a chance, come visit mom. The call I got on Monday said, "The hospice nurse tells us the end is near. Can you come now?" And so I walked into the home of Betty's daughter, Joyce, and she escorted me to the bedroom where Betty was laying. She was still breathing. She could still hear us talk, but she didn't have the strength to respond. And so I stood there with her daughter Joyce and held Betty's hand and prayed for peace for this woman who has known the Lord for a long while. Another member of the family came in and said, she's been fighting. We've told her it's okay for her to let go. This family member said, I think mom's worried. She needs absolution for her sins. I stepped back over to Betty's bedside, and I promised her with absolute certainty that her sins are forgiven. For that's what it means to know Jesus, to be aware that you've been a sinner, and God washes all that away. God lets you breathe again. God lets you eat the food that sustains life. God forgives your sin. Monday afternoon, Betty heard her sins are forgiven. On Tuesday, I was meeting with the Cain family to plan Marge's funeral Thursday morning. We were sitting at the church, and my cell phone beeped with a text. Betty Burkhart went to heaven about 3 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. Darlene McIrvin went to heaven about 4 o'clock Tuesday afternoon. And I thought, I need Jesus. Because these are beautiful women who are now with the Lord. They're not suffering or struggling. I don't need to pray for them, but I need Jesus. This week, many of you have been praying for your pastor, and I want to say thank you. It is a privilege to walk with a family and carry some small portion of the grief that they bear. It is a way to see Jesus. It is a way, perhaps, in moments of grace, to be Jesus. All week long, I've been thinking to myself, I would give the whole world just for Jesus. If it were me lying in that hospice bed, that hospital bed, if it were my last breath, I would choose Jesus. Over all else, over my husband, whom I love dearly, over all else, I would choose Jesus. My friends, I hope that there is a moment in your life when you find yourself gasping for breath and Jesus becomes your breath. That there is a time you are hungering for something you don't even know what it is, and suddenly you realize Jesus is your bread. I pray there's a time in your life when your prayer is, show me Jesus, and someone does. Give me Jesus, and the Lord does. Jesus for the world. The choice is ours. He has already come and given himself for us. Is it a gift we will accept? In planning one of the funerals this week, I was sitting with the family and they were talking about hymns they'd like. And there was a song that someone wanted, but it's not in our hymnal. And I said, well, we could print out the words. I said, I don't know if everyone will know it, if they'll sing or not. And this family member said, it's okay, we can hum. This morning, our closing hymn. Maybe one that you know, or it may be one that you just want to hum along with. I want to share with you this morning the gift of a song that strengthened me this week. It's called Give Me Jesus. Give me Jesus. It's originally an old African-American spiritual, but you'll hear it sung by a young man's voice. The words will be up on the screen. If you're moved to sing along and you want to sing with the words, there are three simple verses that repeat, you're welcome to sing along. If you want to just hum, you can hum. And if you want to just listen, then just listen. Receive this gift from a pastor who's thankful for your prayers, for me, for families in grief, for the women who care for bereaved families. Receive this gift as a sign that Jesus is with you. Give me Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
And the people of God said, amen. Amen. This morning, Katie Jo McLeod is with us. I'm going to ask her to come forward so that we can have a prayer of commissioning for her. She will be driving our young people down to Colorado, and she'll serve as a chaperone that weekend I know that Dylan is up on the mountain with Klondike, so he couldn't be here today, but our prayers are also with Dylan and Kylie. After worship, there's a time of refreshment waiting for us downstairs. There's coffee and cookies. I'm sure that there's all kinds of wonderful refreshments for you to nosh on. If you'd like to stay and visit with one another, maybe congratulate Phil and Becky and find out a little bit more about the China adoption. Talk with Stan and David, check in and see how they're doing. Next Sunday, we will have a pastor's class. As of now, we have one young person who will be preparing for baptism at Easter. If there are any individuals in the congregation who would like to meet weekly during Lent on Sunday morning to reflect on scripture verses related to baptism, you are welcome to participate in that class. Perhaps you have thought about joining First Christian and you haven't made that decision, and you'd like to learn a little bit more about the congregation. Even if you've already been baptized, you're welcome to participate if you'd let me know this week that you went to join that class. It'll be held on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here at church. If all hearts and minds are clear, would you stand for the benediction and prayer of commissioning? You can stay right here. Let us pray. Dear God, we ask you to bless Katie. We thank you for her eagerness, her willingness to serve as a chaperone with our young people. We pray for your guidance, safety for her as she drives, and a blessing upon the entire event, upon youth who will come from across the Central Rocky Mountain region to explore scripture and pray and laugh together. Bless that retreat weekend. Oh Lord, now as we go forth as people of faith, give us Jesus, that we might share your love with all the world. Amen.